This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the opening half hour for the week brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Whatever your insurance needs happen to be, they will make sure that you're fully insured, and they'll do everything they can to save you money. Customer service means everything to them. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Great to start the week on a terrific note with Audrey Snyder from The Athletic. Audrey, welcome back. It's always great to hear you on the other end.
Great to be here, Steve. Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday to you. And a big weekend that included the U.S. Olympic wrestling trials at the Bryce Jordan Center. You had an opportunity to cover it. What was the experience like?
It was great. I mean, I think, Steve, like, you know, we talk so many times about how do you make Beaver Stadium, how do you make State College a destination for more than, you know, a handful of weekends per year for the fall? And this was definitely one of those events. You know, I mean, the town was busy starting Thursday. You know, hotels were pricey. People were going downtown. So I think, you know, from the local economy aspect, it was great. And then I think from the spectator aspect, the sporting aspect, it was tremendous. I mean, the high stakes moments with Olympic sports, like, that's what draws me back time and time again. I had a chance to cover the Olympics in 2012, and it, I mean, there's just nothing like it. I mean, it's all of the pure, raw emotion that comes out after a match, especially, like, that was on display all weekend. And obviously with between Penn State and the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, I mean, this was a Penn State showcase during a massive national event.
And certainly Penn State showed out well in it. What was the reaction of the crowd when Aaron Brooks beat David Taylor?
You know, Steve, it was really interesting because I kept looking around the mat to see, like, where's Cale Sanderson? What does he do? Because, like, man, you talk about a tough emotional spot for him. Like, these are both your guys. And I didn't see Cale around the mat. And I was asking around trying to figure out, like, how did he watch this? Where did he watch it? And the crowd reaction to me was interesting because I would not say that they were stunned, because obviously everybody here knows that Aaron Brooks is incredible, but there was still that moment of, I would kind of describe it just as sadness of, you know, here's David Taylor at 33, and you have to start to wonder, is this maybe his last opportunity, his last crack at it? He was gutted. I mean, and the two shared that moment on the mat afterward, and I asked Aaron Brooks about that, you know, after the match, and he said that he just wanted to tell him that he loves him and that he, you know, he respects him and they train together. But yeah, it was a weird crowd moment because, you know, as many people were excited about, like, okay, yeah, it's Aaron, it's also like, man, David Taylor's your guy too. And I think even watching, like, I was watching Carter Storace watch the match, and you could even tell for him, it's like, yeah, Aaron's his guy, but these guys all respect David Taylor like crazy. And, like, there wasn't this crazy outpouring of support for either guy because I think everybody was just so torn on it.
Cale's had great wrestlers, but I almost feel like the first real Penn State star, I know he won twice, he didn't win four, was David Taylor. You know, the magic man, the whole thing. And to see this happen, and what's interesting is that you talk about David's age. For the most part, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, for the most part, Olympic wrestling is a little older man's sport. And that's what made this even more interesting, to see the younger guy beat, quote, one of the older hands.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the turnaround from the collegiate season to this is pretty crazy, right? I mean, you're talking 3.5 weeks from NCAAs to this. So physically, one of the things that I was kind of looking for going into the weekend was, okay, like, how does Aaron Brooks look just because of the quick turnaround, you know? And to me, it was David Taylor that looked more gassed as opposed to the young guy. And that, yeah, I thought was kind of interesting. And then I did think, too, for a fleeting moment, it's like, okay, wow, this is actually going to happen. Aaron Brooks is going to win. And in my head, I'm thinking, man, like, is this going to be it for David Taylor? Like, for a second there, I was like, could he call it quits here and leave his shoes on the mat, you know? And that did not happen, but it certainly, the thought crossed my mind. And I think David's impact here, too, is going to, you know, kind of, he didn't want to talk on Thursday about what his future looks like and whether that's MMA, whether that's maybe some level of coaching. I mean, he's got a lot going on at his M2 training center, and he's heavily involved with a lot of guys there, including future Penn State wrestlers. But yeah, it was interesting to see that it was a young man's weight class, because that's kind of not what I expected it to be. But then you got the opposite of that with Kyle Dake and Jason Knowles too. So it was a wild weekend, Steve.
Okay, but then there's Jason Knowles, right? Uh-huh. And then there's that situation. Take us through that, because the crowd reaction to that was also interesting and also brought with it some criticism from outside people.
You know, and I think the thing with that, right, is like Jason Knowles, Penn State guy through and through, Kyle Dake, Cornell guy through and through, but because he's with the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, you get some of that, yeah, where people are saying, hey, he's kind of like our guy, you know?
Yeah, right.
Now, I think the thing with Kyle was just, you know, how he even got on the mat, you know, after his father had passed away about a week and a half ago. The emotions of that, I mean, that came pouring out afterward in the mix zone when he met with reporters. And he, you know, said, like, this is the first time he's ever had to wrestle without his dad, and just kind of the right challenges of the emotions that come with that. But I will tell you, Steve, I mean, Jason Knowles, when he walked off the mat, it was one of the most emotional moments of the weekend. I mean, he was in tears, sobbing. Like, I thought for a second it was almost like Bo Nickel almost had to, like, carry him out.
Right.
Just because it's, like, everything you put into this cycle, which in this case is only a 3-year cycle because of the Olympics being in 2021. But just the grind of that, I think everybody, you know, people respect that. They understand that. But, yeah, that was just one of those really, really heavy emotional moments. But, yeah, and then, you know, you have Kyle Dake, who's, you know, also in right tears because of everything that he's had to go through in his family. So,
right,
man, Steve, there's nothing like this event, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and then there's Jordan Burroughs. The Jordan mm-hmm. Burroughs situation, where that brought with it interesting emotions and not the best of them.
Yeah, right. So to me, it's like, you know, obviously Penn State fans are very clued into Jordan Burroughs after his comments at NCAAs and with Carter Starace and how he would attack the knee and basically him verbalizing what everyone else was thinking, right? And yeah, so Burroughs was getting booed pretty heavily all weekend. I will say I don't think the crowd response was the best, particularly there was one fan after Burroughs lost Friday night, one fan right by the railing where all the athletes yep. have to walk through to exit, just
yep.
screaming at him, telling him that he's old, he's washed up, all that kind of stuff, and Burroughs is chirping back at him. Now, I mean, this very well could have, probably was, Jordan Burroughs' last match.
Sure.
And for what he's meant to the sport, like, I hated to see that. I mean, I was in London in 2012 when he won gold, and, you know, it was kind of the huge storyline then. But, yeah, the crowd was really, really on him. Now, Burroughs and his coaches did not do anything to help the situation either. I mean, they were right. chirping back. So, yeah, that was just like this wild sideshow to the whole thing.
It was a wild sideshow to it. But I'll say this about Jordan Burroughs. He has represented this country with distinction internationally, mm-hmm. and he's won internationally. I think he deserves a little more respect than that.
Yeah, to me that was a very not great moment. And then you have the other level too of Bo Nichols been really critical of Jordan Burroughs, and of course Nichols is in Jason Nolf's corner during the match. But afterward, I mean, there was a classy moment between the wrestlers where, you know, just the obligatory match ends. Burroughs goes over, shakes Bo Nichols' hand. Yeah. Like there was nothing there. I mean, I know right. Bo said he's not gonna. Sure. They're not going to be friendly, this and that. But there was that mutual respect there. But, yeah, the crowd, I will say, whoever the guy was who was yelling, I don't know if it was his wife or girlfriend, whoever was with him, then laid into him. And I was like, okay, so we're trying to restore some order around here.
Right. Eventually, were you able to catch up with Kale Sanderson just about in general about all this or not?
No, he was not available, and I think part of it is kind of reading tea leaves. I think Kale wants this to be about the wrestlers and not about him, and I think it's just very much like, yes, even though these are or were his guys, he still kind of doesn't want it to be about him, which I think is just his whole kind of persona. So, no, we did not hear from Kale. We did not hear from David Taylor. I mean, obviously, Taylor was pretty distraught, just kind of walked off. And that was that. So I am curious to see what Taylor's future is. You know, I think that then kind of becomes the big story here. But obviously for Aaron Brooks, now it's like, okay, he's got a few months to get ready for Paris. Obviously, Zane Rutherford first has to go and qualify the weight in Istanbul. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. And I think eventually, I hope we hear from Kale. But yeah, we did not hear from him this weekend.
And explain the Zane Rutherford qualification for everybody out there so they understand how mm-hmm. it actually works for him.
Yeah, so you have six Olympic weight classes, which you have 10 in college. So the cut down from 10 to 6 is something that a lot of guys do not like. They voice
right.
concerns about it and kind of, hey, you know, why do you have to do it this way? But U.S., you have opportunities throughout the cycle to qualify your weight, meaning, like for Aaron Brooks, his example, the weight had been qualified through Worlds. So, like, he knew if he won, he was going to wrestle in Paris. Well, for Zane Rutherford, his weight class is one that has not been qualified yet.
Right.
So he then has to go to Istanbul May, I believe, 9 through 12, has to finish in the top three there. And if he finishes among the top three, then he actually gets to compete in Paris. Mm-hmm. So it's this weird distinction where you're an Olympic trials champion, but yet you may not wrestle in the Olympics if the weight isn't right. qualified. Same situation with Spencer Lee from Iowa. He also has to go to Istanbul to qualify the weight. So the thing with Rutherford's weight class as well is the U.S. did not qualify that weight in 2020 either.
Right.
So that's kind of one of those, like, it's going to be an uphill climb for Zane. But he also spoke very much as it sounded like as if this was his last kind of shot at all of this as well, which was interesting.
Right. As somebody who's covered the Olympics, and you covered London in 2012, what's the experience like? And how did you have to dole out your time so you were able to get the best out of the experience?
It's crazy. I mean, it is like a caffeinated month where, you know, you're just kind of sprinting nonstop. And at the time, I just graduated from Penn State, and there were five of us that Penn State sent over there as a partnership with the USOC, the U.S. Olympic Committee. And so, I mean, every day, like, we were assigned specific beats, and wrestling was one of mine. So every day it was like you were going somewhere different. And then, it was like you just have to be well-versed, and you spend so much of the summer just prepping the different sports and, okay, what are the storylines for handball and what are the storylines for field hockey? And, you know, because everybody knows kind of the main storylines with swimming, with track and field. But when you start to get in the weeds on some of these other sports, it's like equestrian, rhythmic gymnastics. I had the triathlon. That was one of the ones that I was covering. So it is a lot, and you're just kind of going around the clock for a month. Like, you don't know what day of the week it is. It's kind of like one of those hectic football weeks, but just back to back to back to back. But it's the best. I mean, I would love to get the opportunity to cover another Olympics at some point in my career because it is just the high stakes of it, the drama, the emotion, there's nothing like it. But yeah, you do. I mean, I was able to sneak in some kind of sightseeing stuff, mm-hmm. but my sightseeing was going to other events, right? Like, people say, oh, how was London? You were there for a month. And I was like, yeah, I really didn't see anything. Like, I saw Buckingham Palace, but it was while watching beach volleyball that was happening next to it, you know? How was Hyde Park? Well, I was there for the triathlon, and that was cool, you know? So right. you experience a place, but not really, you know?
Oh, no, the people are like, so the Rose Bowl. Am I going, yeah, we're at the hotel. We did eat, mm-hmm. and we covered, and Jack and I did the game, and then I left.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I think people think that, like, we do all this, like, sightseeing and all. I mean, same thing, Steve. I'm already looking at flights for Penn State at USC next year, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, how are we going to make this work?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, oh, hey, you went down, and you, I think it was what the I did the Disney Classic this year for basketball.
Okay.
I was there. I got there. On a Tuesday night, okay, Wednesday, but there was practice. Thanksgiving was the game. I had a flight right after the game. I got to Detroit, did the game in Detroit, flew back on Saturday, did the game on Sunday, flew back. I was like, Disney? What are you talking about? To me, the
Magic Kingdom. You weren't hanging out with Mickey and Minnie, Steve.
Oh, the mouse was at the game.
I mean, there you go.
Oh, no, the mouse did the opening tip. And if you want to know why the mouse has a gigantic smile on its face all the time, because everybody is spending so much money, he is thrilled.
Except for you, because you didn't have any time to spend any money there.
I had no time to spend a dime. So the mouse wanted no part of me. Yeah, get out of here. You didn't spend any money here. Get out of here. Hey, Audrey, it's great coverage of the Olympic trials. Really appreciate the time, as always. It was terrific.
No problem. Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Audrey Snyder from The Athletic. Always great to have her on the show today. The Olympic trials was an interesting time here in the Jordan Center. And, yeah. And she's right. It did a lot for the town. I mean, the town was, you know, big event. Hotels filled up. Restaurants. It was really, it was terrific. She talked about the Olympics. Bob Costas said, quote, I don't miss covering the Olympics. But then again, that's because I did a dozen of them. But you do a whole bunch of them? Right? I can totally understand that. I did a dozen of them. Like, it's like I've been there, done that thing. So it's interesting, but Audrey and I were just talking about, like, you travel someplace. Like, man, and how many days did you spend at Disney? Zero. None. When you did the Rose Bowl, did you go to Disneyland? No. Don't have any time.
My question is, did you golf in Dublin?
No.
That's,
no.
Now I know it's hard to do everything.
Yeah, no, because we had talked about, Jack and I had talked about doing it, and the place where we stayed, the Powers Court, did have a golf course. In fact, they played the Irish Open there. Padraig Harrington, I think, won it. And all I did one day was I took a club from the clubhouse, whatever, and I hit a few balls in the range. But that's all. But there was no time to do anything else. You know, and part of it too is in some of this stuff. To be honest with you, as you know, I take the show on the road. Right. So when you take the show on the road, that means that I'm committed. You know, a couple hours. You know, but that includes setup and things like that. You know, 2-3 hours, 4 hours in a day, in the middle of the day. When maybe some people are out doing some stuff, I'm doing the show. You know, and Todd knows better than anybody that, you know, we take the show on the road. So,
I was going to say, unless you're in the air.
Yeah, unless I'm in the air, yeah. So, when I was down in Cancun in 2018, we had to set it up through Skype to do it because it was the only way we could do it. But every day I did the show, and this is when the show ended at 3 o'clock. Well, I'd be done at 3 o'clock, and everybody would be coming back from the lagoon and places like that, saying, "Hey, what time do you want to go eat?" I'm like, "Okay, I'll go eat, sure." Then the game was that night, and then, I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, I remember being in Las Vegas. It was interesting about Las Vegas is because they're on Pacific time. I'd have to do the show out there earlier. Like, okay. So we were actually able to get out after the show, and Dick Girardi, Jeff Tarman, and I drove to Hoover Dam. Right, just to see Hoover Dam, like, which was actually pretty cool. At least we thought it was. And yeah, so I was able to do something like that. You know, we did eat dinner at the Wynn. We did that. But for example, they had lunch at Paris. They had like a late breakfast, early lunch at Paris. I couldn't go because I was doing the show. You know, things like that. And that's not complaining. I'm just saying people wonder what it's like on the road. Well, that's what it's like on the road.
I was going to say it's like at home, but not.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, all right. Opening half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They want to make sure you're fully insured. And they want to save you money. Customer service. That is the name of the game at Purdy Insurance. You're not a number. You're a person they care about. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour, sponsored by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness, athlete, individual, business. Get your journey started today at NILGameChangers.org. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Milwaukee Bucks put out a tweet, and it has the Larry O'Brien Trophy. And the tweet reads, "What happened in 82 games? Nobody really cares. It's what you do now." Oh, boy. The NBA regular season already has a reputation for, oh, well, let's get to April. Oh, well. But a team actually puts that out there? Oh, boy. I mean, that's on the official team account.
The social media intern's probably very young, though.
Yeah, well, guess what? Guess what the job is of everybody in the organization? to sell season tickets. You just told them it's not worth it. Okay. Here are the average ticket prices. This is how meaningless the regular season is. Cough, cough. The league average is $304.64 for a ticket. Okay. Most expensive ticket, guess which team?
Lakers.
Actually, fourth.
Then my next guess is the Knicks.
Number one, the New York Knickerbockers. Okay, this is the combination. All right? So this is the cost of attending an NBA game. So this just is not the ticket. This includes four tickets, and these are the cheapest ones available. So we're going to do it the suit way. Four hot dogs, that's just for him. Two 16-ounce beers, two 20-ounce sodas, and a parking spot. So if you get four of the cheapest tickets to an NBA game, four hot dogs, two 16-ounce beers, two 20-ounce sodas, and a parking spot, the Knicks come out to an average, this is for a night, $745.18. Really?
$700 in that is to park in New York City, I assume, though.
Oh, you're just so bitter. The Warriors are next, $608.39. The Celtics are third, $536.69. The Lakers, as you mentioned, fourth, $506.05. The Nets, $461.59. Doubles, $412.00 even. So $412.00 even would be, what, $103 a person? Right. Raptors, $361.59. The Bucks, who just put out It's Meaningless, $355.90. The Suns, $343.22. T-Wolves, $336.84. Heat, $319.09. They're 11th. The NBA average is $304.64. For the four cheapest tickets, four hot dogs, two 16-ounce beers, two 20-ounce sodas, and a parking spot. No offense, I find the parking spot to be the part, like you go, ugh.
Well, I was reading, they had a baseball tournament at Medlar Field this weekend.
Yes,
and they were pushing that, please pay for your parking before Thursday, because I guess it was $40 to park for the wrestling this weekend.
The Olympic trials. And I think what Luke Combs is this weekend, and I heard the parking is exponentially more than the $40.
Hoy.
Hoy is right. Hoy. But, hey, I'm sure he'll put on a great show, and that'll be, supposedly that's the going rate.
Hey, I think last summer we paid $60 to park at Dave Matthews, so.
Where was that?
Up in Bethel, where Woodstock was.
Oh, okay. How about that? But you put out a tweet. Nobody really cares. It's what you do now. Okay. Hashtag, by the way, fear of the deer. So you sit there. Okay. Oh, goodness gracious. That really was not the way to... First of all, somebody in the social media department has to have a supervisor, correct?
In theory. But remember, that's what happened in Jacksonville. They didn't have a supervisor, and that guy embezzled all that money. So maybe they don't.
Yeah. Yeah, you look over into some guy's making like, I don't know, $65,000 a year and has a home in Amelia Island. You're like, I have some questions. I have a couple questions here. Hold on. So the NFL draft is this week. Oh, by the way, there was White Sox are 3-18. They've scored 45 runs. they're just awful. I guess Aaron Nola had a pitch clock violation. And I actually was at the Pirates game. I went to the Pirates game yesterday. Pirates and Red Sox game. Todd, I've been going to Red Sox games literally since I was five. I've been going to Red Sox games 61 years. That is the single worst Red Sox lineup I have ever seen put on a field in my life. Like, the worst. Now, O'Neill's out, Devers is out, Casas is out, Trevor Story's out. It's not like they don't have major league players. They do. I felt like I was in the movie Major League when they're in spring training. Who are these guys? And they won the game 6-1. How bad are the Pirates? it was a sweep. And it was an all bullpen game because Pavetta's out. I mean, they've got guys. I mean, their IL is littered with Major League players. And the Red Sox won the game. Like, I'm talking with ease. But there was a pitch clock violation in the game. There was also a catcher's interference call. I mean, the Pirates did all sorts of crazy things yesterday, to their credit. Well, I guess Nola had the pitch clock violation. Steve Stone, who's had a great career, was laughing about Nola. He said, well, that's terrible. I believe they should trade him after the game for that violation. In fact, why don't they trade him to the Sox? We'd definitely take him. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I kind of sat there and went, who are these people? Like, I thought, and to be honest with you, I thought they just, like, went to Worcester and just brought the team down. Like, okay. But they don't have anybody left. They're all in IL.
Hey, Dave, Dick from Milton wants to talk to you.
Hello, Dick. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. I was out mowing grass listening to your show, and I heard you talking about ticket prices, especially for parking. I'll make this quick. When I first started going to Beaver Stadium, the football was $5 to park. That's how long ago that was.
Wow.
But what I wanted to tell you about Luke Combs' tickets for the concert this weekend are $60, $80, and $100. And he actually has a ticket for the concert at $54, which is cheaper to see him than this to park. And he does that on purpose because he knows the parking's pretty expensive at times, which is nice of him.
Well, that's kind of like the Garth Brooks approach. Brooks, he did five shows in the Jordan Center. Jeez, I don't know, nearly like 25, 26 years ago.
I was there.
All the tickets, I think, were the same price, right?
I don't recall. I just know that I was there. No matter what background, I wanted to see him. I saw a lot of concerts at the Bryce Drew, a lot over the years. But I thought it was kind of interesting when I think about $5 to park. And I'm going to tell you one more thing, and I'll make this quick. I know this isn't your fault. So we go to wrestling this weekend. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
And we go into the parking lot there at Bryce Jordan, and they scan your parking thing they know you bought a parking pass. Okay.
Right.
And then they make you park forward so they can scan your license plate to see that you bought a parking pass. I don't know how anybody got by them that didn't have. In other words, it would have been easier to back in and pull out because you always have to back out in traffic when you're the way you're parked that way. Literally have to back out into the flow of traffic when you park with your license plate, which I think is kind of dangerous, especially when there's a lot of steady line of traffic when you're leaving. But my point is, if they scan everybody's ticket phone when they went in to know that you're supposed to park in there, why would they go and scan your parking your license plate? Who gets by them? I guess is my point.
Dick, I completely understand exactly what you're saying. In other words, you wanted to be able to back into the space, so when it came time, you wanted to just pull straight out, and it's safer to do.
Yeah, instead of having to back into a line of traffic again.
Right.
Cars. That's my point there. But as I say, I can't imagine anybody got by them. They had two people checking your phones. I was riding, not driving. And the other thing I thought it was kind of interesting, I'll make this quick. So Friday night, they had an announcement. They had six cars, six license plates. They had a move. They parked in the fire zone on there at Bryce Jordan.
Okay.
And one of them was the Ohio State wrestling coach who had his car towed. They told everybody you're going to get your vehicles towed, whatever you're driving, and there were six or seven. They read off the name of the make of the vehicle, the license plate number, you know, Massachusetts, blah blah blah, Ohio, blah blah blah, and then I heard that he was one of them. He had his car towed for his vehicle code towed. Isn't that interesting?
Well, I wonder if so. You must have been parked in a fire lane. Right?
They were. They were parked. That's what they even said that. When you have to have your vehicles, you have to move your vehicles. They're parked in the Bryce Jordan fire lane or whatever it is. I don't know where that's at. It's irrespective. Mm-hmm. So they had six or seven vehicles, and they went through it. The vehicles. Now, who's listening? Sometimes people aren't paying attention to who was talking at that time of night. But it was kind of interesting because his was towed. In there again, you know, it's a matter of going to get your vehicle.
I'll give you. You want a towed story? I'll tell you about a towing story. Way back, I go to Fenway Park with a buddy of mine. This is way back. This is in the late 70s, and he drove. All right, so we park in the Back Bay Fens. Hey, and there's all these cars there. We park in the Back Bay Fence, so he pulls his car, parks it. We go into the A's-Red Sox game. Red Sox win the game 16-4. We come out. There's no car. Right? No car. So he yells out, it's his car, they stole my car! He yells it. Well, a police officer hears him yelling, comes running over. He goes, who stole your car? And he says, it was here. It was stolen. He said, did you get a description of the... He says, no, we were at the game. And he says, I don't know what to tell you. Now, of course, it's not my car, Dick. So I'm calmer. And I said, wait a minute. I said, I don't see any cars here. Were you towing cars tonight? And he says, yeah, as a matter of fact, we were. I said, oh, okay. Where were you towing them to? And he said, we're towing them to the Fairway Garage in Brighton. I said, Brighton? I said, okay. So I said, look, Brian, let's go. So we go down to Kenmore Square, catch a bus, go out to Brighton, get off the bus, and we were told, hey, look, if you're walking, if you get to the Dunkin' Donuts, you've gone too far. Naturally, of course, we got to the Dunkin' Donuts. So we missed it. So we had to turn around. We go back a couple blocks. We go there. He said, and he looks at the guy and goes, where's my car? Because there's nothing there. He says, I know what you're talking about. And I said, wait a minute. We were told you were towing cars. And he goes, no, it wasn't our turn tonight. Oh, no. I said, whose turn was it? He says, don't worry about it. It's actually, ironically, the Fenway Garage, and it's only a quarter mile away. We go down there, and he throws his arms around the car. We finally got it back. We had enough money to get it out of impound to get out of there. It's like, oh, God.
Well, here's the way to beat parking fees. We park at Timonium to go to Camden Yards. It's free. It's just the state fairgrounds.
Yep.
And we get on the light rail. It used to be like $3, $2.90 to ride all day. And then we get off at Camden Yards. And when we get back there, we're halfway to York on 83. And it's about as cheap as you can park free.
Oh, no. That's great. Timonium's great.
I've
stayed at Timonium before. It's nice.
They put some stops up at Hunt Valley, which you don't have to go quite as far that way. But Timonium's excellent.
Yeah,
and as I say, I think it's 9, 12, 14, 13 stops, and you're at Camden Yards. And it's cheap riding for all day.
Well, what I do at Fenway Park is I park at the Prudential Center, flat fee, and I walk over. It's about 3/4 of a mile. No big deal. And I parked there. Same thing when I went to PNC Park yesterday. I parked in the parking garage across from on the other side of the river and just walked over the Clemente Bridge. It's easy.
Okay. Now I'm going to leave you with one more thing. Jackson Holliday hit 495 or something at AAA Norfolk. He's had one hit since they brought him up to the Orioles. How can that be?
And that's something Tim Kirchin and I talked about that on Friday's show.
I was at the wrestling, so...
Yeah, he's off to such a slow start. But you know what? I go back to Taylor Battle, Penn State basketball. He hit 4 of his first 40 three-point shots. 4 of his first 40. And then he hit 3 against Seton Hall and beat them.
Yeah.
And never looked back. Holliday will get a couple of hits. He'll get into a groove. He'll never look back.
Well, I will tell you this. If there's anybody happy about him having one hit in the number of games and bats he's had, it's the teams that they're playing. Because everybody else is pretty whacking the ball around pretty well. If he started at that level, they would be much better.
Exactly.
If that's possible.
Yeah, and I love watching that team. That team is a fun team to watch.
And they hit a lot of home runs. Their defense is good, and they got a guy that's hit one hit. And
yeah, and your new owner is going to pay money to keep those guys. Your old owner would not have.
Yeah, he wouldn't pay those guys at all. In fact, it's kind of scary. John Angelos said that earlier on during spring training, he said, I'm not sure we'll be able to keep some of these guys. That was John Angelos, but then they sold the team. So maybe it's somebody else that doesn't think like they do.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
I mean, if you're going to compete with especially the Yankees and maybe the Red Sox in that division, you got to pay a little money.
You do have to pay some coin. Hey, I want to ask you one more question. How much did you enjoy the actual wrestling of the Olympic trials?
Okay, so here I had been there. I'd been there. Maybe I told you I was at Pittsburgh at Duquesne when Coach from Oklahoma State got beat. One match.
Yeah, John Smith.
It was okay, except that it drug out forever. You know, the morning session on Friday was from 10 till 3:20, and then the evening session was 6:30 till 10:20, and it was a little shorter on Saturday. And since we really only wanted to see David Taylor's match on Saturday night, we actually went to eat at the Olive Garden and came home, and I watched it. And that match was actually at 9:25. If we'd have gone there at 6:30, we'd have to wait that long to see that match.
Right.
It was easier to set up my computer and watch it on Peacock
So what did you order?
I don't like it because, I like the freestyle. The girls' freestyle, I can take it or leave it. And the Greco-Roman, basically, it's hard to watch. But they don't care about that. They just stagger them, two of this one, and then eventually you have a freestyle. And the freestyles are really staggered because there's only six weight classes in the guys.
That's right.
They're staggered out a long way apart. And they ran 23 matches on one mat there Friday night. Match in the middle mat.
Yeah. What did you order at Olive Garden?
What's that? We had four of us, and we got the soup salad bar or whatever, the soup salad and breadsticks. It was excellent.
There you go.
It was excellent.
There you go. See, it was worth it.
And the retinal misunderstanding, there was lots of good matches. But double elimination at that level, and it was really, I mean, I can't be the only person. And then one more, you know, I don't like football. I kind of, because the music in the background constantly never stops except between plays.
Yes.
And the same, started at the wrestling match, they had that. I had a headache Friday night. You could hear this ball music all the time in your head.
See, it's everything's becoming Live Golf. Live Golf plays music out there.
But I tell people when I go to a concert, I don't go to watch a wrestling match.
Right.
I don't want the wrestler to play basketball. That's my theory about that. You know, I go to hear a concert. So I go to a sporting event. I don't want to go to hear the music.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
Maybe at Beaver Stadium, I'd like to hear the band. If they stick to that, I'd be happy.
Right. Jeez.
Nice talking to you, Steve.
You too, Dick. What a pleasure. Thank you.
Goodbye.
All right. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes, businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.